Let's look in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath of Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Joham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth and Ephraim. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Now that's where the tabernacle is at this time, is in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you again and that for the wonderful mercy. Lord, we thank you that we have a time, and that we come and got saved. Lord, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we're going to heaven. And Lord, thank you for that blessed assurance that we have. And Lord, for the confidence and the persuasion that we have in you this morning. But Lord, it's come now time for the preaching hour. And I stand in so much need of you this morning. God, we just beg and ask of you to come by our way. Lord, I pray that the songs that have been sung have honored you and lifted you up and just brought glory to your name. And Lord, we just now need some good liberty and that to preach. And Lord, we pray you'd speak to folks' hearts this morning about their salvation, that they might truly get saved today. That, Lord, that you'd walk up and down these benches and that deal with folk, and that may be about sin that's in their life. God, I pray that you'd come by and just meet with them today. Lord, I pray you'd help. Now, again, I pray that you'd meet with us, and we'll give you the glory for it all, and ask you to save that sinner's nearest tail. For these things in Jesus' sweet and precious name, we do pray today. Amen. You can be seated. I do want to encourage you again. I was thinking while I was praying there, you just need that time. You need that time of an assurance of when you ask Jesus and that to save you. But let me say this, more than that, you just need to have your salvation nailed down. Amen. Now, there's a great thing in that of this, that if we lose our mind, and he still remembers, amen. I'm glad of that today, that my salvation don't hinge on me remembering, but it hinges on him remembering, amen. And that's the most important thing today, is while you can, while you're in a position where you can be saved, that you trust the Lord Jesus to save you. Get that nailed down, and then it's all took care of for all eternity. But I want to preach out of the book of 1 Samuel this morning, having a thought on we don't and we won't have to worry. If you look in verse 7 or verse 6, I believe it is, we come to that verse where it talks about her adversary. Provoked her. So now her adversary, as we read in verse 7, was Peninnah, which was Elkanah's other wife. She provoked her every time that they went to worship, because she did not have children, and she made her and that to fret. Now if you read the rest of the story, you understand that Hannah goes over to the tabernacle And she prays and pours her heart and that out before God. And God hears and answers her prayer and gives her a man-child and gives her Samuel. And she had made a promise to God that if you'd give me a little boy, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. And God took Samuel and made one of the greatest prophets and priests that the nation of Israel had ever had. Let me say today to you parents, the best thing you can do is just give your children and add unto the Lord and say, here she is, here he is, Lord, you do. Now that's a big mouthful right there, but that's what you ought to do, and say, here's my child, you do as you see fit. But we find in verse 6 that we come to that word fret, and that word fret means to rub or to wire away at. It means and that to agitate or to disturb. You know what the word worry means? It means to trouble. It means to tax or to agitate, and that with anxiety and with care. Now, I preached on being troubled last week. Now, you know what the word trouble means? We're getting English class. It means to agitate or to disturb. It means to afflict or to distress. All them words basically mean the same thing. And so what Hannah would do every year, and no doubt through the year, she was fretting and worrying about the situation that she was in. Now, I'm glad today that as Christians, saved folk, we shouldn't have to worry today. Amen. Say amen right there. You may be worrying yourself to death about some things, but shame on us, because there's a God in heaven that cares for us, and He's going to take care of us. Amen. We've seen in Sunday school this morning, who shall separate us from the love of God? There's nobody going to separate us and that from the love of God. I want to look at three things, and we'll go eat lunch today. Number one, let me say this. When you got saved, you don't have to worry about eternity anymore. Ain't you glad of that? Amen. You don't have to worry about your destiny. You don't have to worry about where you're going to go. Hey, when I got saved, the worry and that of hell was taken care of. Boy, I'm telling you, that penalty and that sting of sin, that penalty of sin that's going to come one day, and that for lost folk, because they rejected Jesus. Take your Bible and look with me in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And the Bible says that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, had everything that he wanted. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now let me stop right here and say, we're all going to die. Everyone, hey, I got to talk about this at the nursing home Friday. Listen, everybody's going to die. Unless we go out in the rapture, we're going to die. Amen. Hebrews 9 and 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Hey, listen, I've stood in enough receiving lines. I've went through enough receiving lines. I've preached enough funerals. I've stood under the little undertaker's tent to know that folk die. Amen. Amen. Hey, you better realize that if you're lost, you're dying, friend, and you're going to spend somewhere in eternity. And so he said right here that the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Let me pour right here and say just for a minute, let me say that when I got saved, that fear of hell was taken away. Amen. You say, I didn't get saved because I was afraid of hell. That's good. But friend, somewhere along the line, there would have been a fear in your life and that of hell. Listen, it was a place, and that of torment is a place of torments. It ain't no more for me, thank God. Hey, ain't you glad you ain't dying and going to hell? Praise his name. But listen, it's a place and that of torments. He talked right here about a place of it being a flame. I mean, that thing's going to burn day in and day out. I don't believe that, preacher. I don't care whether you believe it or not. You're going to wake up one day burning in a lake of fire that can't be quenched. The Bible said in Mark 9, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. Hey, that's where you're headed. If you're lost, hey, you ought to be worried. You ought to be troubled. You ought to be bothered today. And that about hell if you're lost. Amen. Hell's a dangerous place. Amen. It is a dangerous place. I mean, you're in danger of going there if you're lost, but it's a place of a flame that'll never be exterminated, a place of a flame that'll never be put out. Oh boy, I tell you, I'm glad I got saved. Amen. I got saved from that place. Say, what did you get saved? Hey, I got saved from sin. I got saved from myself. Hey, but I got saved from hell, thank God. Amen. Hell's not only a place of torments. He was tormented. He was tormented by the flame. If you read on in verse 27, look at your Bible. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I believe he was tormented also about the fear of his brothers coming. I believe he was. I believe that bothered him. I believe that tormented him. He knew that they wasn't no better than he was. He knew the situation they were in. He knew what got him there. And he knew what was going to send them there. Amen. I preach a message sometimes out of this. Some things in hell that's needed in a Baptist church. Amen. Some things in hell that's needed in. You know what? Prayer is one of them. Amen. He's praying to Father Abraham. And he's praying for his lost brethren. When's the last time you done that? When's the last time you prayed for somebody's loss? It may have been this morning. I hope it was. I was. Amen. Before we come to church, I was praying God save some folk. Amen. Save some folk. I pray that God will. Hey, listen, I believe he was tormented in that, not only literally in the flame. And it is, I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what any other preacher tells you. And I'm going to be like Paul the apostle right here. It don't matter what I tell you later on in your life or in my life. Hell's a real place, burning with a real fire. If I lose my mind and go crazy and begin to preach that hell ain't real, there ain't no fire there, don't you listen to it. You say the preacher's lost his mind. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. That's what you need to be safe from. Hey, listen, he was tormented in a literal flame. He was burning up. He wanted just one drop and that of water. One drop and that of water on his tongue. Can you imagine? One drop. One drop. My soul, he didn't ask for a cup. He didn't ask for a lake of water. He asked for one drop. Boy, what a shame. Amen. But when I got saved, I don't have to worry about that. Amen. That got wiped away. That worry, that concern, that fretting. Boy, I'm telling you, Hannah was fretting over here about some things, but that's one thing I don't have to worry about. Amen. Hey, listen, hell is a place of torments. It's a place of a flame where there is a little fire that burns forever and ever. How's that work, preacher, where you burn? I bet you don't burn up. I don't understand that, but I know it's true. Right. We looked at it last week or Wednesday night, Revelation chapter 19. He cast the beast and the false prophet over there into the eternal lake of fire, a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Revelation 20 and verse 10, he cast Satan in there that had deceived the world. And he said, where the beast and the false prophet are, 1,000 years had rocked on and they were still burning and an eternal lake of fire. Ain't that something? You'll never burn up. Never, ever burn up. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care. But then it's a place of eternal separation. It's a place of eternal separation. I understand the doctrine and the theology and that of verse 25 and verse 26. I understand that paradise was in the heart of the earth. I understand that.
And we know that he led, according to the book of Ephesians, that he led captivity captive. When he went into the heart of the earth, paradise is now in heaven. We understand those things. He went and preached to those that were in prison. That's what the Bible tells us. And paradise, and that was carried back into heaven. And the Bible said in the book of Isaiah that hell hath enlarged herself. I understand the doctrinal issue right here and the theology issue. But let me say that hell is a place of separation. It was a place of separation when paradise was in the heart of the earth. It's a place of separation now that when you go there, you cannot escape.
Amen.
Can't ever get out. That's a scary place. But I don't have to worry about that anymore. Are you worrying about that? You don't have to worry if you'd come and get saved. You don't have to worry about judgment anymore. You don't have to worry about a place of outer darkness to where you'll be committed to. But you know, you're going to stand before a just and holy God one day if you're lost. Revelation chapter 20, I believe it is, verse 11. And John the Revelator said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. The Bible goes on, I believe, in verse 15 of that same chapter and tells us that if your name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, you're cast. It said, and whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, why would God do that? Why would God do that? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. Hebrews 10 and verse 29, I'm going to say this and then we're going to move on. But listen, you, if you're worried about hell, you don't have to be. You don't have to be. If you're lost, you should be. And if you know you're lost and you're not worried, I'd be concerned about that. Amen, I really would. But Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible tells us this. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and undespised under the Spirit of grace. Let me park right here and say, from the very first song that we sung this morning, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, I'm glad for the blood and that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Revelations 1 and 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Amen. We'll look at this in a minute. But Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14 says that we're forgiven. We're forgiven because he shed his blood yonder at Calvary. We've been washed and made white and clean. But let me read on. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye? Listen, if those died without mercy under Moses' law, when two or three people said you done it, he said, suppose ye shall ye thought be worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. There is a judgment one day after a while. I will not stand at the great white throne. Not on the other side. I may be behind him. Amen. His people may be behind him up there. I still ain't got all that figured out and nailed down. But listen, I'll not stand in judgment and that with sinners. Amen.
Amen.
I'll not do it. Hey, I've been justified and made white and clean and holy and that before God. How do you know that? Why? Why do you not have to worry, preacher? Because there was that day that I come and got saved. You know what Jesus was doing when he was being crucified? The Bible said this, and we read over it a lot of times in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ. Now, ain't that something? I mean, God was in Christ. I mean, he was Christ. I mean, listen, Jesus the Lord, he was God manifest in the flesh, amen. But it said but that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now watch what your Bible says. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What do you mean? He's not imputing our trespasses unto us. You know that word imputation means to apply to. And he did not apply our transgressions and that unto us. Now, if you die lost, he's going to apply your transgressions unto you. But he has imputed his forgiveness to all mankind. If they'll come and get saved, you can have his forgiveness. You know why I don't worry? I've been forgiven. Amen. He took all our sin. What was it? Isaiah 53:6. And hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen, when I got saved, I got forgiven of my sin. You know why I'm not worried? I don't stand guilty before God anymore. You know why you worry? You know why you worry when you go? Now listen, if I had to stand before a jury of my peers and I didn't do it, I'd still be worried. Man, they'll hang innocent, man. Amen. Let the guilty go, won't they? Say amen right there. We see it every day. We see it every day. But you know, before God, I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to worry. No, sir, no, ma'am. I don't have to worry about my eternity. Ain't that good? Amen. I'm glad I know I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I have that assurance. It don't matter what the devil tells me. It just don't matter. I know what his book says. I know what I believed, and I know what I've trusted. It's been this book the whole time. Amen. That's all that matters. Don't matter what I tell you, anybody else tells you. It's all that matters. It's just the book. But when we got saved, we got forgiven. Ain't that something? He died in that and was willing to forgive and will forgive the whole world. But then when I came one Sunday night, it became a personal salvation.
Yes.
It was a, how can you put it? It was a public salvation if folk would come. He calls all and that to come.
Yeah.
He died so that all could be saved.
Thank God.
But then there came a private time in my heart when the Lord spoke to me, you see, and I moved and asked him to save me, and all that conviction of my sin got taken away. Ain't that something? You know why I don't have to worry? I don't have to worry about eternity. I'm saved. And that's took care of. Ain't that something? That ought to make you excited this morning. We've been saved for so long that we sat down and we forget where we were going when we got saved. We forgot what that conviction feels like. I think it'd do us good sometimes to remember that conviction.
Right.
Boy, that he saved us, amen,
right,
and made us worthy in that for heaven. I'm glad of that. I'll never have to worry about my eternity once I got saved. You know what else that I don't have since I got saved? I don't have to worry, and that about him leaving me since I got saved. You know, when you get married, you should never have to worry about that, but you never know. I mean, folk getting divorced all the time.
Yeah.
I'm talking about church folk, saved folk, or supposedly saved folk. Let me say that. And you don't know who you can count on or who you can depend on. Friends, leave friends. It's a mess, but I'll tell you one thing. You don't ever have to worry about Jesus leaving
right.
you.
Right.
You say, this is all simple. Now you're catching on.
Amen.
Now you're catching on. Yeah, ain't that something today? You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry, one, if you're saved, your eternity is sealed and took care of. Amen. Ephesians 4:30. And he said, in breathing out the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. But you know what? He's not going to leave us, nor is he going to let us go. He's got us. John 10 says that we're in the holler in the palm of his hand. If you let me say that, I'm in his hand, I'm in the Father's hand. He said, I'm my Father and one. I'm kept. Amen.
Amen.
I'm kept. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you've never built a relationship and that with the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that today. I really do. They got to talking about, I didn't say nothing in Sunday school, but I got to thinking about that walk that was talked about in Sunday school. And you know, as we mature, you know, not that we, let me see how I can get this right. Not that we don't have to deal with sin as we mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. It just seems like sometimes we know how to deal with it with the help of the Lord. Let me say that. Not that we could deal with it fleshly. Don't misunderstand me. Please don't misunderstand me. But you know, as we grow older in the Lord and we walk in the maturity in the Lord, you know, there's just things that used to bother us in our young Christian life shouldn't bother us anymore. We have matured and we have grown.
Now, granted, the devil knows how to push our buttons. Amen. And if you don't think so, you just get in a fight with him. Hey, listen, I was thinking this morning, getting ready early this morning, I'm tired of fighting with him. I hate him. I don't know if you fight with him, but I fight with him. I fight with the devil, and sometimes I just get tired of being, do you ever just get tired of being beat on?
Yeah. Come on.
I get tired of being beat on. But you know what? Every now and again, you got to drag out that shield of faith, and draw that sword out, and go to fighting.
Right.
Amen. You know why we get beat down and we get tired of getting beat on? Because we ain't drawing out the shield of faith. Or maybe you do have the shield of faith. I'll never forget the first time I ever realized this. I remember, man, I don't even know if me and Kelly was married then, but I can remember my pastor back then. I remember him saying something, and man, it just made so much good sense. He said, you can have the shield of faith, and he said, you can hold it up, and you know what will happen? You'll just continuously get beat up.
Yeah.
That's it. Somewhere along the line, you've got to draw your sword out and go to fighting. And you know why I keep going? Because I keep reading that book.
Yeah,
and I keep believing that book. Oh, I'll be honest with you. Now, I know the Lord's got me and He's going to keep me. But every now and then, you just got to draw out your sword and just go to swinging.
Right.
And tell Him, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this mess. Hey, listen, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about eternity. We don't have to worry about the Lord leaving us. But let me say this on why we don't have to worry. Number two, and not only because we're saved, you don't have to worry about eternity or the Lord keeping you. You're saved eternally. That's not my doctrine. That's not a Baptist doctrine. Well, it is a Baptist doctrine, but it's a Bible doctrine.
Amen.
You're kept.
Yeah.
You're kept.
Amen.
You're kept. Amen. Thank God for that. But then let me say this, why we don't have to worry. Number two is because we can give our worries and that to the Lord. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'm determined that most of us carry our worries with us when we don't have to. We carry our troubles and we let them things bother us and we let it weigh us down. And he, you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 where he talks about let us lay aside every weight and sin, he classifies those different. You know, a lot of people say that weight is sin. He classifies those different. I think there are things in our life that weights us down and hinders us and that from running the race, and one of them is worry. One of them is worry. One of them is, I don't know if your mind is broke like my mind is. I tell my wife all the time, my mind is broke, and she made me that way. No, you Pastor Baptist Church, your mind will break, amen. But I think back, and my mind used to be this way. And even growing up, I was a worrywart. I can remember at times as just a boy, maybe 9 or 10 years old, and my sister would have been gone out with somebody. I can remember standing at the door worrying about whether she was going to come home or not. You said, that's crazy. Maybe it was, but I'm just telling you, that's how my mind works. And so maybe you don't have that problem, but I do. And so I've had to learn to let some things go.
Amen.
And for you, it may be easier to let things go than it is for the preacher. My mind's turned that way. And so if I get locked up on something, whether it's a good thing or whether it's a bad thing, and I know I've told you all this in the past, I'm not preaching anything you don't already know, but if I get locked up on it, it's hard to get unlocked on it. And so when I read that, 1 Peter 5 and 7, where he said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you, I have to do that a lot. I have to do that a lot. I feel like Simon Peter sometimes. Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I feel like I just get wore out a lot of times. But you know what happens? We don't have to worry when we'll let Him handle it. I thought about Jairus. Jairus has went and found the Lord. His daughter is dying. And he goes to the Lord and he says, my daughter lieth at death. Would you come and heal her? And Jesus says, I'll go. And so here he goes. Well, somewhere in that story, you find the woman that had an issue of blood. And she comes and touches the hem of Jesus' clothes, and she's healed, and he's got all the people thronging him and touching him and pressing on him. And Jesus takes time to stop and talk to her. Jairus is somewhere out in here. Jesus is standing here. And by the time they get caught back up together, here's what's said. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" Now, if it just stopped right there, what a sad, sad story. But now here's what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, so he heard what was going on, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue. He did not say it to the people that told him. He did not say it to his disciples. Here's what he said to Jairus. He said, "Be not afraid, only believe." He knew that what was coming told to him was going to shatter his life. He knew that it was going to consume him and break him down. And the very first thing Jesus told him was, "Be not afraid." How many times has our worries made us fear? Made us afraid. "Oh, I ain't afraid." "Oh, yeah, okay. All right. All right. If you're that tough, you go right ahead. And you lie to me. But I'm going to tell you, you get your young lady in the hospital and you tell me."
Yeah, I know.
You tell me. I go back to, I told you last week that I'd listened to a comedian's, Jerry Clower's, testimony. And he got to talking about when he got that phone call and his oldest boy had been in a car wreck. And he got to telling about that, and he said on the way out there to the car wreck, they was telling me that they couldn't wake him up. And he said, "I thought they were telling me that he was dead." And he said on the way out there, he said, "I was talking to the Lord and said, 'Lord, I've been going around this whole nation and telling folk,'" he said, "'been popping off and telling folk that when trouble comes, not to act like a heathen, but to act like a Christian.'" And he said, "So when I get out there, you help me not act like a heathen, but act like a Christian." And a lot of times, not that we don't feel sadness, and not that we don't feel worried, but friend, we need to be like Hannah was in the book of 1 Samuel. Not that she didn't have feelings about what she was going through, but she done one of the smartest things that she could have, and she went and told the Lord about it.
Amen.
We go back to 1 Peter 5:7. "Casting all your fear upon him," or "casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." When worry comes, the first thing, instead of us laying our hands upon that worry, upon that situation, and we're going to handle it, I just believe I'd run and tell the Lord. Just run and tell the Lord. And if you live long enough, you're going to face problems and troubles. You're going to have worries. Some people have more than others. And I don't understand that. I don't understand why some say folk that love God, faithful to church, faithful to Him, faithful to do anything, why they have so much trouble. And then some of the most faithfulest folk that serve God, seems like they never have any. I don't understand that. But I do know this, that when worry comes, that we need to go tell the Lord. And then we need to take our hands off of it. And then trust Him and that to handle it. And I believe that's what Hannah done. She fretted about it, but she went and prayed. And if you read that, once she gave it to the Lord, she wasn't sad anymore. And then God heard and answered her prayer. Something that I caught, and I believe I made mention of it before. If you look back in the text scripture, if you look,
And the Bible said in verse 7, and as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. That worry can hinder your relationship and your worship and that of the Lord. It'll hinder you from serving God. It was hindering her. Hey, listen, they went up by the year and that to the tabernacle and that to worship and to make their sacrifice. And every time that they went up, they were hindered. Or she was hindered. He will hinder you from serving the Lord. Your adversary will. Do you know when it's time to learn? He'll hinder you with cares and with worries. If you go to the book of Luke chapter 10, Martha was cumbered about with much service over that. Well, take your Bible and look, and then I'm going to move on, okay? Look with me in Luke chapter 10, because I want you to see this. Are you catching on today? We worry about so much, and we're burdened down with so much, and we've got so many problems, and it seems like the world's coming to an end, and we've just got so much going on. That friend, that it hinders us, and that with our relationship, with our walk, and that with the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. Luke 10, verse 39. Look in verse 38, excuse me. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him unto her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also, now I've got this underlined in my Bible, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Well, it's a good place to be. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she helped me. Now, let me stop right here and say, yes, the Lord did care.
Yes.
But it was just in a different direction than what Martha was looking for. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. What was that? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing the word of God. Here Martha was cumbered about and troubled about it and cared for too much, and she couldn't get to the feet of Jesus. And instead of trying to get to the feet of Jesus, she was trying to get her sister Mary and that to come and help her. That ain't what neither one of them needed. Amen? You know what both of them needed? One of them found it. Mary had found where she needed to be. Martha had found, hey, she had too much going on. She had too much trouble and too much care in her life to find herself seated at the feet of Jesus. You'll find too much care and too much trouble sometimes in your life to get at the feet of Jesus. It just consumes you and consumes your mind. Not only am I talking about here at church, but I'm talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about your prayer time. Can I tell you, the Lord does know how to help you. The Apostle Paul said this, but what a great day it was when I read this and actually understood it. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. I'll never forget when I read that one day. It's like God just turned on a light switch. The greatest apostle that there probably ever was, the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, he said, we didn't have any rest. We were troubled on every side. He said, without were fightings, but within were fears. I thought, my soul, for him to make that statement. Not for me, not for you to make that statement, but for him to make that statement. Hey, I had fears in my life about how all this was going to turn out. But then he says in verse 6, nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. God knows how to handle your worry and your fears and your concerns and your troubles. He knows how. Me and you, neither one, have to worry. We don't have to. But number 3. And this is where this whole message started when I began to study it, was right here. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, here's what he says about the new city Jerusalem in heaven. He said, and I heard a great voice in verse 3 out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. When we get to heaven, there'll be no more worries. That, listen, not that we'll have to deal with them and let God handle them. There'll be no more worries.
Amen.
When we get to heaven. This life is passed away. The worries and the concerns of this life. Boy, yeah, I tell you, you'll be over there with me sometime at the nursing home when I get on Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. And boy, you get to talking about there'll be no more sickness. And talking about no more cancer. Talking about no more strokes. No more Alzheimer's and dementia. And watch them light up. You know why? They're dealing with it.
Amen.
They're dealing with that worry. And you know what they're doing? Those ones that are saved, they're looking forward to that day.
Hallelujah.
I'm looking forward to the day when there'll just be no more worries. No more. What do you got to worry about, preacher? Plenty.
Yeah.
Run around with me someday.
Yeah.
There'll be no more sickness there. There'll be no separation there. There'll be no death there. Boy, I tell you, we worry ourselves when folk get sick that they're going to die, and then they do die, and then what are we going to do? Hey, ain't you glad that the Lord is your friend today? That He'll see you through that one that's done, went on. But hey, I'm telling you what, I'm glad there's going to come a day that we're going to shake hands and we're going to sit down, and that for all eternity. Ain't that something? Boy, you talking about singing that song, I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside where all sorrow has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide at the close of life's long, dreary day. Ain't you glad that this dreary day is going to be over with?
Yes,
it's over with. There'll be no more sickness. A place of no more separation. We'll never go to the funeral home. We'll never go to the grave site. We'll never have to pick out another casket. You'll never have to pick out another set of clothes to bury somebody in. Those days is over with. That worry is over with.
Amen.
Glory. Some of y'all wake up hurting more and more every morning. Them days is over with. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, as we seen in Sunday school, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt. For to go is far better than to stay. He knew what he was talking about. He had done seen that glory and that over our heaven. And he said, I heard some. Didn't talk about what he saw. He just talked about what he heard. He said, I heard some things that was unlawful. And that to utter. Man. Be a place of no more separation. But ain't you glad it'll be a place of no more sadness. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll never be another sad day when we get there. Never have to worry about anything. The worries have done been taken care of. Why is that, preacher? Because if you go back to verse 3, he said, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. We're going to be in his presence. Think about that for just a second. The very God that loves you and died for you, we're going to be in His presence.
Amen.
You may not have no worries now, and bless your heart. I'm glad you don't. You may not be bothered about things right now, and that's good. But as you grow, you will. What you do with them is what matters. If it's a worry of something in this life, let the Lord handle it if you're saved. If it's a worry about your eternity, where you're going to spend eternity, why don't you come and get saved this morning? Because there's coming a day you're going to meet God. We're going to leave out of here. And for us that are saved and ready to go, ain't heaven going to be a wonderful place? I want to say this. You may not believe this, but I do, so don't try to change my mind. Not only are we going to see Jesus, but I believe we're going to see them ones that went on before us. I do. You think we'll know them? I do.
Yeah.
I do. I really believe that. 1 Corinthians 13 said we'll be known as we're known. They got up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and them three disciples knowed who Moses and Elijah was. Didn't have to tell them. They knowed who they was. Ain't that going to be a day? Boy, talking about page 310, that glad reunion day.
Amen.
That tickles me to death. It does. Let's bow our heads and say, come get a verse of invitation. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? What troubles you? What bothers you? What agitates you? What's disturbing you? You can come get it fixed today. Maybe you need to come and get saved. Maybe hell's bothering you eternity. You don't want to think about eternity. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad of that. But if you don't know that, I want you to come. Or maybe there's some troubles and cares in your life. Maybe there's some troubles and cares in your life. A friend, you just ain't let the Lord have. And they're going to wire you out and they're going to beat you down. They're just plaguing you. They've locked your mind up. They've hindered you from your service toward the Lord. They've hindered you in your worship. You can't even come worship. Can't even enjoy the choir singing. Just hindering you. Can't even enjoy the preaching. Hindering you. Can't even enjoy the Sunday school. Just can't do it. Hindered in that by cares and worries. He said, casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. But let me tell you, dear saint of God, let me tell you this, there's coming a day that all our worries are going to be taken care of. They'll be finished. It'll be over with. Never have another one. If you notice that even the rich man being cast into hell, he still had worries. He still had worries. He was worried and that about his brethren coming to that place. Hey, how about it this morning? Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. I pray You'd help during this invitation. Please touch it and help it this morning. You know folks' needs. I pray that You'll just help during this invitation this morning. God, You know what they need. Forgive us where we fail You now. Help, for in Your name. Amen. Let's stand our feet this morning.